yes, yes, yes. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is the Studio W Sports Page. I'm your host, Millen, riding shotgun with me, my co-host, my man, Mr. Kevin Harris, to my left. To my right, I got my man, Mr. Romar Smith. I got my man, WB, in the background. He will be on shortly, and also, might have a couple of surprise guests for you guys. You never know. It's the Studio W Sports Page. We want to wish you guys and everyone out there, happy Thanksgiving. I hope you guys are enjoying the holidays. I hope y'all didn't go broke with Black Friday or anything like that. Hope everything had, mine was a blast. I had my dad over there with friends and family. WB, I told you he's in the background. He was rocking that 88, that 88 for Dallas Cowboys, but we're gonna talk about that later, man. I have never cooked so much food in one day in my entire life. You know the amount of dishes I had to wash? How many times I done ran a dishwasher? I broke the sink and had to fix it. And yeah, I did all that before you got there. But you know, if I had to turn back clock, I would do it all over again. It was so much fun. I never had so much fun cooking in my life. So that's my element. I don't belong in no restaurants, even though I cut my teeth in a couple of restaurants around Richmond. But I don't belong in no restaurants. I belong in my own kitchen, my own element, the way I can do things my way. That's the main thing I was thankful for, because the first time I believe I ever cooked Thanksgiving for my father, and he enjoyed it, and he put on like 10, 15 pounds, but that's neither here nor there. Yo, Kim, how was your Thanksgiving, brother?
Man, it was pretty good. Like I said, I worked a half a day, came home, took a nap. You know, my mom came by the house, dropped off
two plates. And like I said, man, I pretty much crushed everything. You know, one play I crushed on Thursday night during the Cowboys-Giants game. And then, of course, I crushed the other plate last night with dessert. So it was all worth it.
Yeah, I know that's what. Yo, Roma, how was your Thanksgiving, brother?
Can't complain. It was good. Went over to my sister's house. Kicked it with my sister, one of my nieces, and the Chump Squad, which is all 4-5 of my great nieces. Sat there and made my plate to go. Got home and realized that I bit off more than I could chew with the plate that I made. So I kind of had to gracefully bow out like halfway through the plate.
Wow.
Uh-oh. Yeah, because when my sister cooked, it's a whole nother dimension for me, because she cooked like my grandma.
Oh, yeah, it's something about that holiday magic. When you're in that kitchen, it's different than just cooking a Sunday dinner or just a regular old meal. That Thanksgiving dinner, that Christmas dinner, where you know you gotta put your foot in everything. You know what I'm saying?
That I was missing.
Oh, you eat chitlins?
What?
Give me a plate with some chitlins, some potato salad, and some collard greens, and some mustard, and some hot sauce. Boy, you don't know what you're missing, man. That's some good eating right there, man.
I'll go this far. I'm not going to sit up here and be a hypocrite when it comes to chitlins. I had some deep fried chitlins one time. No things was off the chain. I'm not gonna front. I give you the deep fried chitlins, but that's as far as I'm going.
I know what they are and everything, but I don't know, man.
Cause sometimes you gotta,
if they cook right.
Sometimes you gotta think out the box when it comes to your cooking. Cause if you really want to, you know, be petty with how the struggle of how the food comes into fruition. I'm talking about the whole processing thing. You'll never eat again. Let's just keep it 1,000. If you really want to dig into the background of how everything is made how everything is processed and shipped and made to you before you cook it or before you buy from some certain fast food restaurants. We're not going to talk about them because they're not paying us. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the way things, especially chicken nuggets, yeah, you don't want to have that conversation with me. Look, I will make you never eat fast food ever again. Yeah.
It already costs too much.
Hit three. Say it again.
It already costs too much.
All right, take three off. Yeah, I thought that was your microphone. But anyway, man. And aside from, honestly, I didn't get a chance to take off work to like really prepare myself, you know, to cook this meal. So everything was done pretty much that morning. Mm. I had worked 14 hours on Wednesday, and then I worked 14 hours yesterday.
Oh man.
Yeah, your brother tired. So I
can believe it, cause
I said all that to say this. I really missed the Detroit Lions. What was it on? I missed the first game.
Buffalo beat them.
Y'all gotta tell me about this. Tell me about this.
From what my nephew told me, in the last few seconds of that game, Josh Allen showed you why he is Josh Allen. He took, from what my nephew said, he took him down the field and got him in field goal range like with 23 seconds left in the game.
Yeah, 23. Yeah, he's so.
And as usual, Stephon Diggs always comes up with a miraculous catch.
And see, this is the thing. This is the thing with Buffalo. Like, I didn't get a chance to watch the game because I was too busy cooking. But the thing about Buffalo, this is huge for Buffalo. Even though it's against the Detroit Lions, I told you guys, the Detroit Lions, they're on the way. And from what I see, looks like they brought the A game. But for the first time, I ain't gonna say for the first time, but Buffalo normally loses these kinds of games. They've been reluctant to lose. I don't know the overall record, but the overall record ain't good. But these close games, they're normally on the losing end of these close games. So it's a huge weight off of their shoulders. What? To finally get to win a close game. I don't care who's it against.
They lost Von Miller in that game.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, that's good.
But yeah. I just seen he ain't got no tears or nothing in his knee or nothing. So.
Yeah, see, if I'm Buffalo.
That's a good thing.
If I'm Buffalo, I'm still putting him on the IR.
Yeah, let him heal up. Playoffs.
I'm still putting him on the IR. I'm still going to, you know. See who else on the market out there that's looking for a paycheck. You know, I'm still shopping for him because I want Von Miller. I don't want Von Miller no more this season. I want Von Miller ready for the postseason.
Yeah, sit him down.
I would sit him down for the rest of the year. I don't care if he's healthy or not. You ain't coming back to the. You ain't coming back till January. Point blank. Period. So, what was your first take about the first game, Kev?
I fell asleep after halftime, but it was a real good game when I finally woke up. I didn't wake up till like 5 o'clock, and I knew that game part was over. So that first thing I did, I checked the score. I said, "Well, I think just about everybody except maybe a couple people got the first game right." So now I'm thinking like, okay, let's go ahead with the second game. See what this one goes to. And it looked it's interesting how certain things don't really change that much. And like the Lions, you can always count on losing on Thanksgiving Day. Yeah. I know it's sad to say that, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. So WB.
Man, I saw the game. And I was pleasantly surprised because I do not like the Lions, but I have to agree with you. I think they're coming, man. They had that game, and I was shocked because the Lions bored. Thanksgiving's past, they always bore me. I always say, why are they even on TV? But we talked about that, economic reasons, right? Because of the owners, right? Now, I was shocked, man, and they had that game. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think their kicker missed a field goal this year. I don't think so. Check it out. Somebody fact check that for me.
I know who you're talking about. He hasn't missed all season.
And he missed a doggone 29 yarder. All right.
A gimme.
And they came back and kicked the 50 some yarder to tie the game. Right? And like you said, man, Josh Allen came back and did that thing, but I was pleasantly surprised. As a matter of fact, I've never sat down and watched an entire Detroit Lions game on Thanksgiving until this past Thanksgiving. I was, boy.
Yeah, you don't know what you missed. They have provided some classic games in the back in the days, especially against the Dallas Cowboys. You don't remember Barry Sanders back then?
I remember Barry Sanders, but look how far back we're going.
Hey, do y'all think at the end of the day that Matthew Stafford, Jerry Goff trade, Detroit might have actually got the end of that trade?
Man.
I think so.
Look at their offense the last 2 years since they didn't had Jerry Goff.
Yeah, they've increased their point total by point average by at least 15 points.
Matthew Stafford got to the Super Bowl last year because of Cooper Kupp and the defense. They won the Super Bowl because of their defense.
Oh, there's no question about it. But what happened to
him? Odell Beckham before he got hurt.
No, that's not all. That's not all, because see, Matthew Stafford ain't got time back in that pocket. The biggest loss on that team is Andrew Whitworth. When Andrew Whitworth retired, they lost one of the best offensive linemen, in the game, because Andrew Whitworth's going to the Hall of Fame. He's going to the Hall of Fame. That's a given. But you lost a ton of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to that locker room, when it comes to the offensive line, and you can see that offensive line, the way they play right now, they are not disciplined at all. They also just cut their leading rusher on Darrell Henderson this past week. So it's going to be real interesting to see how the Rams go. But one thing about but back to the Lions, they got this kid from Jackson State. Did y'all see him?
No.
I think his last name is Houston.
I remember.
Yeah, but I read the stats, and he had 2.5. I think he had 2.5 sacks, forced fumble, something like that. But he had one heck of a game. He got cut by Detroit, was put on their practice squad, and his first game was on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And this guy.
Okay.
Now you gotta think about it. They got something in Aiden Hutchinson. Mm-hmm. This guy, Houston. I'm gonna say that I'm gonna make this hot take about this guy named Houston. He's a poor man's Michael Parsons.
Wow.
Now you see where I'm going. Now this defense got something to build off of. So I made the post when I shared this. I made the comments like, one more good draft, and these Detroit Lions gonna make a lot of noise, because that NFC North is wide open.
They got their receiver back too, then.
Yeah, the wrong wide receivers. They were dealing with some major injuries.
Wide receiver that was hurt or something.
One thing they have to do, they got to do this if they want to get to the next level. They got to promote Deuce Staley to the offensive coordinator. If they do that, watch out for these Lions.
But they look good though. I'm telling you right now. And another thing you pointed out too, going back to the realm. Well, and I always say, because we talk about the offensive line, right?
Yeah.
Talk about the offensive line. If you don't have a good offensive line, you're not going anywhere. You're not going to win a Super Bowl. Matter of fact, you might make the playoffs, okay? But it's hard to go far if your offensive line got holes in it. I mean, that's a fact.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, who your quarterback is. If the protection is where it all starts. Right there.
Absolutely.
You saw that this past Super Bowl, at Cincinnati.
and look at the thing about it too. Now we always look what's happening down in Tampa Bay earlier this year. I don't know when they tightened it up. They look like they tightened it up a little bit, okay? poor Green Bay. You still got problems. But but yeah, but look what happened, boy. Because Brady, to me, he's still the greatest quarterback ever. Okay? I mean, you can't argue with separate rings. You can't argue that. But he had a little bit of time, more than he had this year, to get that ball up. Right? Now, he also has one of the quickest releases in football. Okay? But I'm going to tell you something. Aaron Rodgers does too. Except if your offense allowed to be like Swiss cheese, it's over.
Let me share this with y'all. Also, as far as Aaron Rodgers go, the Packers' pass protection is horrible. It's straight up putrid. They have a revolving door at the offensive line spot. Now, Tom Brady, yes, he's been going through a whole lot, but the offensive line has been banged up. Tristan Wirfs been in and out. I don't even think they got Ryan Jensen back. They haven't had their starting center all season.
That's a problem.
Now, if you follow this show, you know how ad nauseum I have gone extensive how important the center position is. And you have not had your starting center. You have not had your guy all year long. And you expect to have a good season?
Ain't gonna happen.
Look, Peyton Manning would not be Peyton Manning if it wasn't for Jeff Saturday.
Oh, that is the truth.
Yeah, because you gotta think about it that. You gotta think about that. Offensive lineman matters.
Yeah, you talk about Mr. Duck Pass.
Yes.
Peyton Manning.
Yes.
Yeah, overrated. Yeah. Overrated. Yeah, Peyton Manning's overrated.
You know, speaking of overrated, I do really like your jersey you got on there, Dad. You looking pretty sharp.
Pretty slick, man. Sonya's wearing the same one. Number 88, Lamb. Boy, and you know what? And some people ain't gonna like this. I probably gonna get some hate mail or something like that. But I hate the Cowboys. I hate the Cowboys real bad.
I agree with you.
But I'm wearing the jersey because the jersey is slick. The jersey is slick. And that boy, look here. CD, right? Yeah. CD Lamb?
Yep.
Have I got that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause Destruction Lamb. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Man, that dude, he's that dude. All right? And now, I want to change the subject just a little bit, but stay on football. Mm-hmm. Who, in the panel's opinion, the top five wide receivers in the league right now? Now, we had this conversation off air about basketball, but who would you go to see first, Kevin?
Like in any wide receiver, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pro.
Right. I would see CD Lamb would be one of the, let's say, my top five. I would put him in that category.
All right.
Let me see. I'm trying to
think. Is individual or collectively?
Individual. A top five. And they could even be on the same team if that's possible for your pick.
Everybody top five.
Top five
receivers. I can give it to you right now.
Okay.
Tyreek Hill.
All right. No argument there.
What's my guy? Justin Jefferson.
Oh man.
Oh come on, man. That's too easy. Too easy.
Oh. Okay.
He's ridiculous.
You get an argument here.
Now that he's back, DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, that was one of my other picks there.
Okay.
I got two more, right?
You got two more.
You know, just to make it easy for the rest of the panel, I will put CeeDee Lamb and AJ Brown. That would be my five. Ooh. Just to give, you know, just for the sake of this show, it's just like Stephen A. Smith said, it's fluid. I mean, I got a lot of honorable mentions. I could swap out AJ Brown for Terry McLaurin. I could make that case very easily because I know him. That's why I was gonna say that. I was gonna say that for you. But it's you know, I'm gonna let you guys have it. I'm gonna come back with five more.
Okay. All
right, well, my five, if he was healthy, Chase in Cincinnati, DeMar Chase.
All right.
Justin Jefferson.
Justin.
Scary Terry.
You know who I...
Devontae Adams.
Yep. Okay.
Stephon Diggs in Buffalo.
Ah, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Oh, boy, yeah.
Well, I would have to say, oh, my goodness. Tyreek Hill, I'll go along with that. Boy, you can't leave out Jefferson. All right. Lamb. Ah. Diggs. And if he were healthy, he's still one of my all-time favorite receivers, and it's Beckham. I've seen him.
That's the only reason why I can't put him on the list. Because
he's not on the team, on a team yet.
Yeah, okay.
I honestly think he's not going to sign off anybody.
No.
Why not?
Why not?
It's taking too long.
Okay, so what's the holdup? He's healthy now, right?
It says, last I heard, he's already healthy. He's already clear to play. How come he hasn't flown nowhere yet? No one has flown to see him yet.
Well, see, that big mouth Jerry Jones said something about, hey, he looked good with a star on his helmet, right? So,
yeah.
Now, you guys brought up a point last week that Jerry Jones kind of threw his hat in the ring to drive up the price.
Right.
Huh.
I said, it's a lot of smoke and mirrors. It's a lot of talk and no action. Why are you making ads and making we want Odell Beckham commercials and.
And I heard.
And no movement.
I heard he wants a nice piece of chain.
I think that's probably it. It's more than likely. It all boils down to the dollar bill, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That makes more sense than anything if you think about it.
Yeah, because I'm going to throw this at y'all. Not to throw this on my team, but remember, right, the episode before y'all beat us,
mm-hmm.
I did say the Eagles was going to win. But when I signed off on the show, I said, yo, Howie Roseman, you know we got an issue with our run game. We need – Ndamukong Suh is out there. I said that at the end of that show.
Uh-huh.
What happened – Well, then we lost.
And then y'all picked him up the next day.
We picked up Linval Joseph the next day, and then the day after that, we picked up Ndamukong Suh.
They were listening to you.
somebody out there was listening to you on that one.
They were listening to you. Absolutely.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
I talked, there was action. There's all this talk about the Cowboys, you know, making an Odell Beckham Jr. sweepstakes, and there's no action.
Hey, I got a question. It has nothing to do with anything, right? Except for we talked about Sue, right? Now, he is mean, he's nasty, he's vicious. Now, you know, some players, they're nice guys off the field. I got a feeling he ain't nice ever. I bet he's nasty.
Right now he fits right in his belly. Well, he fits right on in.
And you're making no apologies, huh?
No. Now there was some behind the scenes discussions. The fan base, you know, in the past seasons did not want Ndamukong Suh because. Now they went. They didn't want Ndamukong Suh. We didn't want Jadeveon Clowney. They didn't want those two in the past. But as time goes on, and we see the type of void that needs to be filled, he's right. What he brings to the table, what Linval Joseph brings to the table, is exactly what we need.
Hey, look. Those are catches those teams are looking for, believe it or not.
And trust me, you help us win football games, you're getting free cheese. You help us win football games, you will not have to buy a beer nor a cheesesteak in Philly for the rest of your life. You bring a Super Bowl. I don't care what Ndamukong Suh did in the past. We win this ring this year. There might be a statue of him somewhere in Philadelphia.
Now, Mel, I will say this also. Now, I also saw this little known stat. Now, and it actually plays in y'all favor. The last five times, that y'all were either 8-1 or 9-1, that y'all have actually made it to a Super Bowl every single time. So, I'm just curious to know. And also, I should give you guys credit also because when y'all picked up two instead of one, that told you right there when you kept saying, you know, Roseman's the GM of the year. And, you know, I'm sitting there having questions about that. And when you kept telling me off air that, you know, hey, like he doesn't have to play or he doesn't have to be healthy, but also I need to be mindful that, okay, he went out and signed not one, but two. So that told you right there, he didn't put all his eggs in one basket, because sometimes when you sign, you hype up this one player, and that first, you know, when he gets on the field, next thing you know, the first or second game, he gets injured. So now he's got a backup. Let's say if Sue, if something happens to Sue, he's got somebody else to rely on that he signed on to help fill the void. So keep that part in mind.
Yeah. Hey, good or bad? I got a question for the panel here.
Yes, sir.
Now, Sue, they only signed him to a 1-year contract, I believe.
Yeah. Right.
Correct. Do you think it was just a test to see how that works out? And then they, of course, if they win, they're going to try to sign him again.
Right.
Right. That's how the game goes. I mean, you sign all veterans to 1-year deals.
Okay.
And, you know, or for the rest of the season. And then you work it out from there.
Well, some teams do that.
Now I do have to note, you guys, that we had to sign both of them. We needed two defensive tackles.
We lost Jordan for a minute, right?
We lost Jordan Davis. He'll be back for the Titans game, but we also lost another backup defensive tackle. So there was a void for two spots on our roster, you know, to fill that out.
Right.
That was a smart move. Yeah, we are thin at defensive end, and we were thin at defensive tackle.
You say were.
Yeah. We still need one more edge rusher, but we making it do what it do.
Yeah, well, you've been doing pretty good without him, but so you signed two more, I think, yeah.
Hey, so, Dad, so where you get that jersey from?
Oh, I got it from G&J, NFL, and more on the east side of Richmond, 3302 Williamsburg Road, right there. And the Supreme Flea Market, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, special announcement. Mark your calendars on this, folks. Monday, December the 5th. Oh, the sports page, Studio W Buzz and Jamestown Apartment Flex. We are hosting a Super Bowl extravaganza. Not Super Bowl, I'm sorry, Monday Night Madness. Monday Night extravaganza right here in the lounge. And there's going to be food. There's going to be music. There's going to be official NFL gear. Folks, come on out. That's 500 West 14th Street. On the corner of Sims and 14th Street right here in Richmond, Virginia. Stop on by, say hi, pick up a jersey, grab some food, enjoy the game, and jam to the music.
Oh, yes, yes. Okay. Oh, man. You know I'm going to be in the building.
I know you're going to be here.
What about you guys? You guys going to be there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're going to throw that. But, yeah, back to this. I love that one. I love the jersey you got on. Like I said, I hate the Cowboys, too.
Yeah.
I got different reasons. I'm gonna give y'all the backdrop on that another day. That's not enough time in this episode. So he has a CeeDee Lamb jersey on. I'm rocking one of the ghosts. You guys can't see this, but I'm rocking that Reggie Jackson, that 44.
Oh, they should be able to see it. You on camera, right?
Yeah, but they can't see the 44 because, see, when it comes to the Yankees, it's all about the name on the front of the jersey. There's no names on the back of the jersey.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Mm.
So, yeah, so all the thing, you. All you see is numbers. So you see the Yankee hat. You see the 44. I gotta give a quick shout out to my man, Jay Gott, John McKinney, Shop Lyrics. He got me to match in the first Allen Iversons. I got these through him, Shop Lyrics. I just put them on and walked right out the shop with them. You know, real quick 10-second shout out to my guy, hooked me up, cause I didn't not for like months, I didn't have nothing to match my Yankees gear. He looked out for me, so real quick shout out to him. So we covered the Lions game. And I guess we do have to talk about the Cowboys and the Giants because that was the most watched Thanksgiving game of all time.
Yeah.
Right. Now, I wanted the Giants to win for obvious reasons, but we pretty much knew that the Cowboys was going to win. So we was all in agreement that
unfortunately, that was what ended up happening. We both agreed on, well, we were hoping against hope in that case, but yeah. I mean, and it looked like it was the easiest game on the board of all the three.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Did you think, you guys think that the Giants made the Cowboys look good with all the mistakes they were making? I mean, because
I think the Cowboys was making the Giants look good for the first half.
Now, Giants' record isn't bad, though, is it?
No, they're a good football team.
Yeah, I mean, they're 7-4 right now.
7-4?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. But see, now the thing about it is, man, I walk in, people say, hey, man, hey, yay, Dallas Cowboys. I say, hey, man, I forget about the Dallas Cowboys. They say, oh, you rocking that jersey? I said, yeah, I like the jersey. All right. I do not. Have you ever seen that Kent walk in or rocking a particular jersey? He really don't like the team. All right. Yo, that's me.
Yeah.
I love controversy. I love controversy. No, actually, I was advertising for G&J NFL, but, so I've got plenty of jerseys of teams I don't like. But, that game, like you said, the Cowboys look like they look like they had an easy day that day. Dak, he looked good. I mean, my boy CD Lamb. Okay, who was that else that showed off with the Pollard?
Let me tell you, I'm gonna tell you something, because if you look at the stat line, Gallup was showing off too. Also,
yeah,
Gallup was showing off. And if you also think about it, if you watch, as I always say, the game within the game, as I always say, you saw CeeDee Lamb had these one-handed catches. Do you think, by that point, you think that's an audition for, say, hey, OBJ, look, we can do the same thing you've been doing. Do you think that's an audition to say, hey, you know, come for us, you know, come work with us?
Right.
You know, think about it this way. If you had CeeDee on one side and OBJ on the other side and Gallup along with it, and also keep in mind, you got Schultz, too. Those boys are pretty dangerous on the offensive end. So do you think that is an audition show for OBJ thanks to what CeeDee Lamb and Gallup have been doing?
It could be. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to skip to something else. There was a play where CeeDee Lamb caught, in my opinion, it was a touchdown at the end of the end zone, right? Mm-hmm. And he had one foot down and looked like to me, that he had dragged that other foot, or the last foot, right? He had the first one down, and looked like he had dragged the last one, and they couldn't get that right in the replay booth, in my opinion. Because to me, that was a catch. That was a catch. No, you biased. You biased. You hate the Cowboys like I do, but I got to.
But we had to call a spade a spade.
Look, I'm gonna call it honestly the way I saw it. To me, that was a catch. I don't know what you saw it, Mill.
Yes, I saw it. And this is the thing. And I would agree that should have been a catch. But the reason why it was not a catch. Now, this is just some of the pettiest crap I've ever said on radio. But this is what happened. Since the toe landed and cradled so the heel could go out of bounds, makes it incomplete. Had it been a situation where the toes touched down and dragged out of bounds, that would have been a touchdown.
Oh, but see, the thing about it, when that toe touched down and he's in full possession of that, okay?
Yeah, but
I agree, the heel was inches from the ground to me, all right? Now, none of us had the luxury.
But it's also this one thing, though. It just wasn't one heel, it was both heels.
But the first one was already in.
No, the first one was in and landed the same way. So he doesn't survive the ground until he's already landing or dragging out of bounds. Since he wasn't dragging out of bounds, he was landing like that.
Right.
That's what made it incomplete.
But see, the thing about it, the heel never hit the ground.
Yes, it did. Both heels did hit the ground. Both heels landed on the line.
Okay, got a question for you. Didn't the toes touch down first? On both feet. Both feet. All right. I hear you loud and clear.
The foot, the toe, and the heel landed.
Inside.
The heel of the first foot landed at the same time the toe of the second foot landed.
That's a catch.
That's what made it incomplete.
Oh, man.
The back heel. All right, so facing us. The right heel, the right foot landed first.
Got you.
Right foot, right heel, left foot. That's what made it incomplete.
Oh,
Oh.
That's what made it incomplete.
Let me ask you a question. Didn't Bert, the toes of both feet, weren't they inbound?
Didn't I start this off by saying this is some of the pettiest stuff I've ever said on radio? Didn't I say that?
We'd have gone all day with that if we had to.
Okay. Well, Neil and I look at this issue through.
I agree with you.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I just want you to understand the BS.
Okay. I got it there. Okay. I'll be back.
As much as I hate the Cowboys, I must say that on both ends of the stick, offense and defensively, they played a complete game. And I realize Michael Parsons is something special. He is really something special on that defense.
Man, when I said from the very beginning, when that draft came and we drafted Devontae Smith, a couple of Eagles fans said, but I said I wanted Michael Parsons. Now, I'm happy with Devontae Smith. Don't get me wrong. I'm happy we got Smith. Smith is going to be special. But Michael Parsons, you knew from Penn State, he was going to be that one of the, you knew he was going to be that guy linebacker going in. Wherever he went, you knew he was going to be that guy. And, he's in his second year? Mm-hmm. And they talking MVP?
They got like 12, 13 sacks.
Dude's an animal. Dude's a problem.
He got six more games.
Dude is a problem. Mm-hmm. So, we got to talk about the New England and Minnesota Vikings, how we ended the night. Yeah, we'll talk about some special guys. You know, Kirk Cousins, you know, most of the time he does not do very well on Sunday nights. He does not do well in night games, but let's give credit where credit is due. They pulled out a victory. Cause I really thought that the Vikings was going to take that L to New England, but like I told you guys before, there was a commentator that said that this New England Patriots squad is the dumbest squad, the dumbest New England Patriots led team that coached by Bill Belichick. So give me your guys' take on that final game.
There was a lot of mistakes, mental mistakes. Like you said, situation football. You know, like basically I think during the second quarter, almost near halftime, like if you get a turnover, you got to convert those into touchdowns, because some of the plays that were being run, it makes you scratch your head. You know, and I'm sitting thinking, what are they doing? And anytime we get, you know, Tony Dungy out there, you know, questioning some of these calls, it's like, okay, something is up there or whatever. So, I mean, that game was for theirs for the taking. I still dispute the fact that Hunter Henry, he had a touchdown. That looked like he had a touchdown because they actually initially ruled it, but then they kept going about, well, he didn't, you know, the ball hit the ground and whatnot. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, come on now, because I thought he had a touchdown and they took that away. I don't know if that was one of the reasons why that they lost the game, but you know, they had chances. The Patriots had chances to do something with it, but apparently they couldn't convert when they needed to.
Yo, I really didn't even see the game, but I was shocked that Kirk Cousins won in prime time. And for some reason he been playing good football lately and winning the games that you don't expect him to win.
Well, I can tell you I watched a little bit of the game. I had the itis by that time, man. Like I said, that Thanksgiving meal was woo. Man, I still got the itis from it. I worked 14 hours yesterday. So, that's neither here nor there, but the difference between Kirk Cousins back then and Kirk Cousins now. Now there are times like when they played against the Dallas Cowboys that he didn't have a good enough outing to win the game. But he's got guys there now that's going to that he didn't have before. He didn't have a guy like Justin Jefferson before, who went off. There was an Adam Thielen sighting. You know, he's been relatively quiet, you know. And, you know, one of my favorite running backs that's playing right now is Dalvin Cook. So he got weapons. And like I said, this New England Patriots squad, one of the commentators called them one of the dumbest squads that, coached by Bill Belichick. And you don't see that, but you can see the dysfunction right now from top to bottom. Now I say from Bill Belichick, you know, Matt, if you've been a football fan, you know good and well Matt Patricia does not belong anywhere on the offensive side of the playbook. You already know that. You got two defensive guys trying to coach the offense. So I give them no judgment on how their offense is being ran right now. I have no judgment on Mac Jones. I have no judgment on a running game. No evaluation right now. Until they get that coaching staff straight, which I fully believe Bill Belichick's gonna right that ship this offseason.
Josh McDaniel about to be back down.
Yeah, so I give them the next offseason to get that coaching staff straight. Then you'll see the Patriots make a comeback. But however, before we start talking to, before we get into some basketball real quick, gentlemen, I want to throw this caveat, this question out there to you. What do you think about these, when the playoffs finally come?
Mm-hmm.
Can you see the AFC East and the NFC East in the playoffs?
You mean like all four teams?
Yes.
It's possible, but
I can see one out of the two.
I think it's going to be the AFC East because I think the way the Giants playing, if they continue to play like this, they're going to play themselves out of the playoffs.
But who you going to put in?
I mean, of course it'll be Philly, Dallas, and Washington.
So it's still all NFC East.
Now all four.
Yeah, but who's gonna catch the Giants?
We can catch the Giants.
We can actually catch them if we play the way we've been playing.
We got them 2 out of 3 weeks in December.
It's three playoff spots.
Yeah.
Right.
So if the Giants are gonna be out, who's in? Dallas got one wild card. Washington has the other one.
Seattle.
Matter of fact, Seattle is it?
You think Seattle's gonna keep this up?
It's hard to say.
They better than either the Rams or Arizona.
Yeah, but they gotta face San Francisco one more time.
Yeah.
And they face San Francisco one more time. That puts them at
6-5.
Right along with the Giants. Yeah, game better. So who?
Yeah, because currently, as constructed, if the playoffs started now, let's go with it. We already know who the top seeds are. So yeah. You got Philly at number one, Minnesota number two, San Fran number three at 6-4, Tampa Bay 5-5 for the fourth seed. Now we go to the wild card. We got Dallas at 8-3, the Giants at 7-4, and Seattle right now is sitting at 6-4. In the hunt, you got Washington at 6-5, Atlanta 5-6. So let's at least keep those two in the hunt. So let's look at it this way. So the main question is, do you think Seattle is going to continue to play do you think they might fall out, depending on who they got left? And then, or if the Giants fall out and say maybe Washington, maybe let's say sake of argument now, Washington might end up taking a spot from one of the two teams.
Yeah, I know the Giants. We got to play the Giants twice.
And so do we.
So.
Because four out of the five games also, they got division opponents. So it's going to be tough. So the pressure's more on the Giants now. That they lost, they got swept by the Cowboys. Think about that.
Yeah, they really needed that one. So it's gonna be a tough sled, but I don't think Seattle, especially when it starts getting colder and they gotta play some more road games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see this defense the way it is constructed holding up for the rest of the season. Now the offense, as long as they keep running the ball with Kendall Walker, they're gonna have a fighting chance because Geno Smith is playing phenomenal. He's not gonna be the one to screw this up for him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with that deep, I think with their weakness on the defense, excuse me, their weakness on that defense, I think that's gonna be a problem for them because if they can't stop the run or the pass, they can't do right now. They can't do nothing. They're in shootouts every game, so they can win or lose every game.
Well, also keep in mind too. And I was telling several people, don't be surprised if the Giants slowly fall out because they had injured players coming into the game this past Thursday and they lost some more people afterwards. So, and then remember, we got them next after Atlanta. So let's see. I mean, who knows if they're going to have players recovered by that time, which they have like a week and a half. So that's some, yeah. Now also remember, Washington started out 1-4. The Giants started 6-1. That was like what? Like within the first month of the season, back in what, September? Now we're almost into December. We're almost like a game behind. We are a game behind. So fast forward to, 8 weeks later, anything can still happen, folks.
Man, I'm looking at what the Giants got left.
Mm-hmm.
Like you say, after next week, they play us.
Yep.
Then you got, I'm looking down here, it seems like they got.
And you still got Philly twice.
They got them twice. They play the Eagles after they play us.
Mm-hmm. And then we got the Giants again two weeks after that.
And then they play the Vikings on Christmas Eve. They got the Colts, and they played, and they end the season off playing in Philadelphia against the Eagles again. They got some tough games ahead of them right now.
And as we always say, division games. I think division games are always tougher than them out of conference games.
Yeah.
Okay, so what about the AFC?
The Jets.
Can you see all three of those, all four of those teams in that division went in the wild card?
That's a tough one.
Yes, it's tough sled on both ends, but.
Yeah.
Division leaders. Kansas City 82, Buffalo 83, Baltimore 73, Tennessee 73. Then you got Miami sitting there at 7-3. Cincinnati at 6-4.
Now that's what's gonna make it impossible.
And you got right now the Jets would occupy a spot in the playoffs sitting at 6-4 right now. And maybe would get in.
That is true.
The Jets, the Bills, the Dolphins.
All of them would get in the playoffs.
All of them got a better record than Cincinnati?
Well, Cincinnati right now has got the seventh seed at the moment.
Yeah.
And right now, if the playoffs started today, the Jets would not be in.
Nope.
Oh. That'd be a disappointment, too, because the Jets been coming on, man.
Why wouldn't they be? Because looking at it right now, they got a better division record than Cincinnati and a better conference record.
They got the same record, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't Cincinnati beat them head to head?
Did they play?
I think Cincinnati beat them head to head.
Yeah, it's something to do with. It's got to do with like conference records or division or head to head. It's one of the two.
Okay. Yeah, if conference records and division records don't matter. If there's a tie and the team beats you head to head, they're gonna have they own that tiebreaker.
Yeah, they did beat them.
Yeah, that's
so how, yeah, Cincinnati would get in.
Okay, so real quick, we up against, we're gonna speed this thing up. I got my dad WB back on. Yo, You guys were talking earlier, right, about when we shifting gears to the NBA, y'all. This is Studio W Sports Page. It's your host, Mill. Riding shotgun with me is my man, Romar to my right, Kevin Harris to my left, NBA action. And we were talking about NBA action earlier, and y'all was giving, y'all opinions about, you know, some of the top players in the NBA. And Dad, you was talking about John Morant.
That's right, John. Box office Morant. I'm telling you right now, the baddest. Look here, right now, just take this little era here, okay? And I'm not talking about all time because of, obviously, you know, you can't say, hey, he's one of the greatest all time because I don't think he's had enough time in the league, right? This is only his, what, third year?
Yeah, third year.
Third year in the league, all right? But I'm telling you, you take his 3 years over any other player's first 3 years and you do the math on it, right? Now, Kobe Bryant, one of my favorite players of all time, right? His first year in the league, it took him a couple of years to really get going because I remember when they first put him in, well, he came in the league at the age of 17, if I believe, if my memory serves me correctly, right? And I remember, man, he wasn't that impressive first year. And I remember he came up there it was something in the playoffs, and I forgot who he was playing, and he hit some air balls at the free throw line.
No, it was 3 points. He shot air ball
3 points. Okay, I'm talking about at the free throw line too. He missed some shots, right? I mean, just horrible, right? But then obviously, with hard work, dedication, and skills, he came back to, in my opinion, one of the greatest ever. Because I'm going to tell you something. If Shaq had stayed there a couple more years and they got a couple more rings, I don't know, would you guys be talking about Jordan? We could be talking about Jordan, okay, all right. The GOAT, all right. Besides Bill Russell, of course. The GOAT. You beat Kobe Bryant right there because Kobe had 5 rings, Jordan had 6. But because of the foolishness that went on in that Laker locker room, which has permeated to the diseased Lakers that they have right now, okay? Because, see, disease takes a time, you know, to build up, right? And so, with the cancer that's in that locker room right now, but I guarantee you it will be Kobe versus then Michael, all right? Let's say if Kobe had 6 rings and Michael had 6 rings, what would you say then?
Mike's still a goat.
6 and 6.
But you look at it. You look at it. Kobe is the closest thing. Kobe